Hello, world.
Hello, world.
Boy, that was a long elevator ride. We are so sorry that we took so long. Actually, Ramon, you can come out of the elevator, too.
Come on, Ramon.
Here at CS50's headquarters at Harvard University in Cambridge, Massachusetts. That there was Ramon, who you might remember from such episodes as CS50 Live. And on our left here in front of us, Myla and I are standing in front of CS50, the steel version thereof. This is by CS50's own Ansel Duff, one of my former advisees and a former undergraduate here, who was an engineering concentrator, who a couple of summers ago machined these out of metal, cutting them ultimately in MIT's workshop.
In addition to that, he also made us a beautiful doorknob for the CS50 office. So let's actually take a look.
Right this way. And what do we have here?
We have the entrance to the CS50 R&D office with another doorknob made by Ansel Duff.
Indeed, so this was made out of aluminum, and what was actually really interesting about this whole process was I, as an undergraduate, did not study any physical engineering at all. It was all about computer science, and as you may recall, government, where they definitely didn't teach us about how to machine things like this. And it's actually been fascinating getting to know students like Ansel, another fellow named Miles, and any number of our undergraduates who actually know
how to build
things in reality. Yeah, we can't really fix this afterward. All right, shall we go meet the team and take a look at CS50's headquarters?
Let's go.
Here we go. Right this way. All right.
So coming in here, we actually have one of my favorite parts about the office is our Lego wall. So this was actually inspired by a trip. David, you want
to
tell us more about that?
A trip to TripAdvisor. So it turns out TripAdvisor is not just a website. It's an actual company in Newton, Massachusetts, and they kindly invited us to their offices a couple of years ago when we were shooting some of our educational segments on what it's like to work in and create things in industry. And they had a wall very much like this. And so after we got back from their offices, I think I sent an email to our friend, Professor Mitchell Resnick at MIT, whose team is the authors of the amazing Scratch software that we and others use in CS50 and beyond. And so he happens to know a lot of people at Lego. So tens of thousands of Legos later and a lot of talented team members, we have this Lego wall.
Speaking of talent, we have a beautiful mural over here, which I think encompasses a lot of the iconic moments of CS50. We have the IHOP logo, which is after the CS50 hackathon. Mm-hmm. Students who are still awake come to IHOP with us at around 6 a.m.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
for a great meal after a long night of coding.
It was great after that long of a night, yeah. And then what else do we have here?
And then we also have we have our CS50 made out of puzzles, Puzzle Day, with our friends at Facebook is a really, really fun event that we have during the beginning of the year. Fire and Ice, where we had many of our CS50 lunches, which unfortunately has closed down, but still fond memories.
Indeed.
From there.
In fact, the owner of Fire and Ice, the restaurant that we've gone to for, gosh, some 7 or 8 years, actually let us take the metal sign that used to hang outside the restaurant. So that's now at CS50 Space at HSA, Harvard Student Agencies, which you may know we've been using for CS50's office hours this year. Now, this mural was painted by the daughter of a former professor of mine, Professor Margot Seltzer, in the computer science department here. Her daughter Tegan came by a couple of years ago and worked her magic, as Myla says, capturing any number of these memories.
Speaking of memories, this wall over here has some posters and pictures of how many years has this been?
This is my 10th year, so I think we didn't think of artwork until my second year, so 9 years of artwork.
Yeah, wow.
So what do we have here?
I think we have, look, our Miami Hackathon poster.
Yeah, so our friends at Miami-Dade College, so we riffed on the Miami Vice logo, if you're familiar with the older show, and we held our first ever hackathon. Too young? Too young to remember. So this was our first poster from the CS50 Hackathon in Miami, where some of our amazing students from Miami-Dade College and LaunchCode got together with some of our team to work on projects and P-sets. This was one of the posters with which we first recruited a year ago for our first ever, and Yale's first ever, undergraduate teaching assistants and course assistants, without whom we would not have been able to bring online the course in New Haven as well. Over here, this is subtle, but this is one of the pocket squares.
I remember that.
The Harvard Radcliffe Veritones wore in their jacket pockets when we performed Zamyla's own music video debut.
Yes, my premiere performance.
Feeling Good, which was by our friends in the Veritones. Mm-hmm. So that came out well. What else? We have some of the signage and the raffle cards from CS50 fairs. Oh, we have a ticket here. This was actually to the Kendall Square Movie Theater, which is like down the road in Cambridge, where we saw a screening years ago of Ivory Tower.
Yes.
which you may recall.
I remember Ivory Tower because they were filming that during my first year of leading the walkthroughs, where indeed it wasn't in front of the white screen, as you may see now. In fact, it was in front of a live student audience in front of a chalkboard. I believe I actually used chalk.
What was that like?
Repeatedly. Yeah. Dusty.
But it was amazing. Director Andrew Rossi, an alum of both Harvard and Yale, followed CS50 and a number of other schools over the course of that year, capturing what it's like to be at and to teach at institutions of higher ed, looking at the rising costs of education more generally. So if you haven't seen it, do check out this documentary, Ivory Tower. In fact, fun fact or awkward fact, I remember sitting on like an airplane once, like a Delta flight, and like that was the movie that was playing right in front
of
us.
Really? Did you
watch it? I did. So we have any number of other posters here. Let's point out just a couple of others. This one here, I think I'm told by multiple people, has the reputation of being our worst poster ever. This is when I learned how to make lens flares with Photoshop. I don't see what the problem is, but I've since been told that we need more talent than mine.
This poster really brings back memories. This was a prop poster that we used for the first 48-hour
film project
that we did. Yeah.
Yeah, so this was our first work, and it was pretty much characterized by some of CS50's team literally being in like a 5-foot by 5-foot elevator for like 10 hours just to shoot what we thought was a good idea at the time, but ultimately required shooting a murder mystery, essentially. We've since taken things up a bit. I think our Persistence film was a little more sophisticated, so that's still available online as well.
Indeed.
Should we head over to the writer's room,
Let's do it.
So the writer's room, our conference room really, is so named because this is where the magic happens when we work on these 48-hour film projects, where the team has just 48 hours, like a Friday night to Sunday afternoon, to produce a 7 or so minute film. And so over here, you might recall CS50's own Dan Armendariz, who was one of the authors of our CS50 IDE layer on top of Cloud9. This is some of the photographs that his students created. And let's see, should we make our way over to the movie posters and such?
Yeah, and then speaking of Ivory Tower, here's the actual movie poster that we have for it.
Indeed, that was one of the actual movie posters that the director kindly sent over to us. And then behind Zamyla over here, you'll see some of the banners that hang from just a few of the schools where we have some really good friends and instances of CS50, Harvard and Yale among them, Miami-Dade College and Hopkins School, one of our first CS50 AP instances. But we'll see a few more of those outposts in just a moment.
Yeah.
Should we go meet the team?
Let's do it.
All right, so now you're getting really behind the scenes. So not only do we have Scully and Ramon here, we have Jill, who just recently joined CS50's team. If Jill, you would like to say hello, world, as well.
Hello, Facebook. Thanks for tuning into Cambridge.
So let's turn around as well, and we have some of CS50's production team. So we have CS50's own Ian, whom you might recall me calling out during some of our recent lecture shoots. CS50's own Dan Coffey here, who's watching the live stream being live streamed here. And
then over here, we have AJ, who is playing on the virtual reality. So it looks a little odd right now, but if you pan to that screen, you actually see what he's seeing right now live.
So you may recall we've been experimenting indeed with virtual reality. Now this has nothing to do with CS50 per se, what we're doing here. AJ has just written though in a three-dimensional space, hello Facebook, using HTC Vive, which is just one of the technologies with which we've been experimenting. Others include Oculus Rift and Samsung Gear VR, and indeed one of our hopes longer term beyond just capturing CS50 in virtual reality this fall, whose videos will soon be available more broadly, is also to start experiment pedagogically, transporting perhaps, maybe Zamyla into high school classrooms around the world using augmented reality or virtual reality. I don't know if we've discussed that just yet. But ultimately trying to see what we can do in a virtual space, particularly to enable classrooms that might not have the physical resources with which to explore some of those same topics. Should we?
Actually, I want to take a go. Yeah,
can we have a turn?
Yeah.
Okay. This then is Arturo. Say hello to Facebook.
Hi, Facebook. How are you?
Hello, world.
Hello, world.
Yeah. Want to give this a try? So what game do we have here on the screen?
So right now we have loaded up Tilt Brush, which is a game by Google for the HTC Vive. The HTC Vive is a virtual reality headset. Just trying to get this tight over here. That lets you actually, with the use of these two controllers and the motion sensors up here and up there, draw and work in real space. So I'm actually going to have to have you hold this while I set Zamyla up. Yeah. So remotes, yeah. Safety first, because you can get pretty immersed and then forget that you're actually not in that world. So as you can see on that screen, Samyla is now drawing in real space and virtual space, just as I was, with the use, again, of those motion tracking sensors that are tracking the accelerometer, gyro sensor, and other tech in that headset that will allow her to move back and forth within that space and draw. And so there's a lot of different, let's move this way, technology and uses in games for the HTC Vive currently that allow you to sort of feel immersed in this virtual reality world.
And what's neat, because of these sensors on the ceiling, she's in a truly three-dimensional space, X, Y, and Z coordinates, such that if she paints something in the space, she can actually then step around it, step through it, because of these sensors that are on here on the ceiling. We should probably get back to the tour. Yeah, we should probably get back to the tour. You may recall AJ was one of our first students down in Miami-Dade College when LaunchCode first started up, and indeed he's now here full-time with us in Cambridge.
Hi, Miami.
Here you go.
Now also behind the production team here, CS50's own Jordan Hayashi, who's currently taking time off from school to work on his startup, and he's also helping with CS50's own Colton Ogden to oversee CS50's new space and CS50's office hours at HSA, and will also be running a first ever boot camp this spring with which to empower students all the more after CS50 to take them even deeper into web and mobile technologies.
Hi world, I'm Jordan. Hello Facebook.
Wonderful. Well, shall we take a look at who's over by the window?
Let's do that.
Oh my goodness.
Oh my goodness.
Who do we have here?
Hello world. My name is Maria, and I'm CS50's at TF.
Hello world. My name is Doug Lloyd, and I'm CS50's preceptor.
And what does that mean?
It means that I help make your life easier every day running CS50.
Both Maria and Doug and Walter and Rob, some of whom couldn't be here today because of classes or sleeping, are truly behind the scenes what make the course possible here in Cambridge, Jason and our team there in Yale, in New Haven. And then we were just commenting just a few other of the faces that spend quite a bit of time here in CS50's office are these portraits here who are made by one of our online students in India, Ayu, to whom we've been sending photos over time, who then turns them into these wonderful recreations using her artistic talent. So every few months or so, she sends us another such portrait.
Students from all over the world have also sent us postcards. Over here, we have our postcard wall, which is also really fun. Look at what locations have we had over here?
And also all over the world. So we've got Guatemala is over here, and actually we'll probably meet Christian in just a moment, who's from exactly there. California in the U.S. here, Vermont, Georgetown. Where else do we have? Berlin over in Germany there.
Calgary, Alberta, Canada one.
Wonderful. Oh, little shout out to Canada there. The Philippines over here, Athens, Greece, Puerto Rico. So we've been soliciting these cards for quite some time now, and we'll probably post the address to which you can send these if you'd like to send us not just a digital message, but a physical one as well. And in fact, during this live stream, as we work on our tour here, if you'd like to post any questions or comments in the live stream, we'll do our best to field a couple of those questions either here on air or right after. Should we double back for just a moment and take a look at CS50's own transit screen?
Yes, we should.
Coca-Cola bottles?
Yes.
All right, let's double back over here if we could. Oh, and in the meantime, you might recall from last year we spoofed the Seinfeld, very Seinfeld references, thanks to Scully and Ramon and Jordan and Ian and Dan here. This was the puffy shirt,
yes,
which was perhaps one of my own more awkward moments. Anyhow, it's amazing what you can find on eBay, if you know that reference.
David, if I can interrupt for a second.
Oh, of course, Dan Coffey.
Hello. We have a lot of questions coming in from online.
Wonderful.
One of which is this a recording?
No. So all of the mistakes you see us making are
totally
right
live.
Now.
Excellent. And then somebody, when you were talking about the postcards, said you can send a postcard here. I don't know if you want to give any
Indeed.
Details.
We don't have this technology yet, but you in an ideal world, you would see the number on your screen to which you could send the postcards right now. But we will post that later on digitally so that you can indeed do just that. And now, Dan, can we take a moment? What is all of this? This seems very fancy.
Yes. Well, welcome to the production setup. This is a subset of what we use for the actual lecture production for CS50.
Really ready for the game today, it seems. What's this
I'm
going to
hand off, because what you can't see, and maybe Jordan could actually swing his camera over and get a shot of Scully, who's operating our wireless camera. That camera is very heavy. It's a red Epic Dragon, which we shoot our lectures on and everything else that we shoot. And it's probably 25 or so pounds. So in the 15 minutes that we've been up and running here, Scully, I'm sure, is getting very tired and looking to hand off. So we will do a seamless transition where her and I will swap places.
That's a lot of K coming off that camera too, right?
Yeah, there's a lot of Ks. We can get upwards of 6K. That's 6,000 lines of resolution per camera. And if you do the math, it's something like 30K if you put all the cameras together. So we like to say that we are the highest K, highest resolution lecture that exists.
And how many gigabytes is a typical lecture from Sanders these days?
Well, when we talk about our VR production as well, that adds a lot of data. But we are talking about 2 to 3 terabytes per lecture. Granted, our lectures are a little bit longer this year than they were last year.
Long-winded this year.
A little long-winded, yeah, you know. But hopefully for the best. So.
Speaking of the postcards, actually, Doug has also live written the address over here.
Oh, how wonderful. We have this whiteboard technology over here.
He's going old school here. So
send them to me personally. At this address, can we enhance this?
Enhance.
That's CS50, care of David Malin, 33 Oxford Street, Cambridge, Massachusetts, 02138. USA.
All right.
Now let's go to the What's this over here? Can we have maybe someone from production explain what's going on with this magical orb over here? Oh, it's CS50's own Dan Coffey again. Off script.
Oh, hello. So what we have here is the Nokia Ozo. And we did get another question about VR in general. And one is, how do we watch the lectures in VR, which we can demo after this.
Okay.
But this is how we actually capture our VR lectures. This is the Nokia Ozo. It's a beautiful piece of hardware. I'm going to take the blinders off. And so what you can see is there are 8 lenses on this camera. And what's really cool about this is, like, VR is a very nascent technology at this point. It's been around for a long time, but filmmakers and people are just figuring out how to use it really well. And so what's cool about this camera is that it actually shoots in stereoscopic. So what that means is, just like your eyes when you see stereo, like one signal for each eye, the two front lenses here give you a stereo signal. So when you put on the headset and watch it, not on a two-dimensional screen like YouTube, but if you put a headset on like your phone or the Gear VR headset, you actually get depth. So as you approach the camera, it feels like somebody is actually approaching you, just like if you've seen a 3D movie, except the difference is this is a 360 camera. So that means it can see 360 degrees all the way on the camera, up, down, behind, in front, and so you can actually move your head around, and as you look around, you can actually look around the space as if you're sitting there. So we are doing this for all of CS50's lectures this year and some events as well.
And actually, if you look at week 0 of CS50 2016, the VR version of which is now online, you can actually see CS50's own Connor Doyle, one of our undergrads, who's super into virtual reality, but who made sure, we realized in retrospect, to sit front and center in the orchestra section. So if you look to your right when watching, or to your left when watching the video, you can actually see Connor Doyle there. But indeed, you can use HTC Vive to watch these videos. You can use Google Cardboard, which is a much less expensive option, Samsung Gear, and surely there's going to be even other options coming down the pipeline. For now, it's all very bleeding edge.
Yeah, and I will just say, one of the cool things that we've been working on, Luke, who we haven't met Luke
in just
yet, right?
A moment, yeah.
In just a moment, has been working on a beautiful player, and maybe we could give that a demo in a minute where you can actually see how to click through the different experiences that CS50 offers.
Yeah. So let's take a quick look at the wall, and then we'll meet the last of the team. All right. So back in the day, actually, when I was an undergraduate, 20 years ago, I wrote this program that was command line based. I think it wasn't in C, it was in C++, and I wrote it shortly after taking CS50 and a follow-on class, CS51, and it was just all about enabling students to figure out when the next shuttle bus is on campus so that they could get from their dorm to class or whatnot. Then 10 or so years later, we came out with a newer technology called Shuttle Boy cards, thanks to Yuki Yamashita, one of our former head teaching fellows. These were just physical cards we started giving
out. I remember getting one of these.
Yeah. Yes, it was pretty useful because if you live in the quad, as it's called, or some of the river houses on campus, it's pretty useful to know when they're coming. But now we've taken things to the next level. What do we have up here?
Step up. So here we have our CS50 transit screen. So over here, based on several locations, so we have a couple of transit screens all over campus. And so based on that location, you'll see how long it might take you to get to the nearest bus or subway station or hubway, which is a bike share program, as well as the Harvard provided shuttle services.
Even Ubers and hubway, the number of bikes you can get. So Zamyla actually is one of the undergraduate tutors now, or resident advisors essentially, and in the house in which she lives, we have one of CS50's first such transit screens, thanks to an amazing alum and his startup who are producing this software and kindly let us use it here on campus.
Absolutely.
So lastly, just a little small touch we have up here in the office. It turns out that you can get anything on the internet, including customized Coke bottles. girls, and you might recall some advertising campaign recently where you could go and buy like your name in various stores. Well, if you can't find your name in the store, you can tell Coke via an HTML form what it is. So thanks to Jason Hirshhorn, who first brought us a CS50 glass, we've since started producing customized glasses for most everyone. Dan Armendariz, of course, has moved on, and of course his glass is now empty, but everyone else's glass here is full, still on the shelf.
Let's go meet some of the team.
Yes. We're really gonna push this wireless technology to the limits here as we go into our so-called West Wing.
So over here, we're passing by David's office. And then over here, actually, I love always looking at this because this is from our first ever hackathon.
Oh, yes.
In St. Louis.
Indeed. So when we met our friends at LaunchCode, we got the chance, some of the staff after, to go to this glass-blowing factory where this is way better than I think the things I made, actually.
Oh, absolutely.
We made little like paperweights, ultimately, but our friend Jim made this beautiful work that has since adorned our office. And actually up there behind Jordan and AJ, you'll actually see the sign, the Yale-Stanford sign, something else that you can have made on the internet, even if you don't actually have a street to go with it. And that was in our Muppet video that the production team made, actually shooting outdoors and on the highway. And then behind that, if we don't mind swiveling Ramon one more time, thanks to CS50's own Michael G, one of our undergraduates, he actually digitally sketched out the tower of Memorial Hall, which is where Sanders Theater is. And so then we created an overlay out of that, a big sticker essentially, that now adorns the wall.
Yeah. Shall we continue?
Yeah. Let's. In? Remnants of Angry Birds past.
I dressed up as an Angry Bird, I think. My very first year on staff, we had an Angry Birds theme. So at the CS50 fair, I was waiting at the bottom of the stairs in a red Angry Birds costume.
I remember that.
Throwing stress balls at students, welcoming them.
I think just because we had the costume. I think we had, and then a pumpkin maybe? Was
that
the year Jason Hirshhorn dressed
as
a pumpkin?
Yeah.
Yeah. And, that, and who do we have here? Hard at work.
Hey, David.
Hey, Miles. Would you like to say hello to Facebook?
Hi, Facebook.
So, Miles, what are you studying here as an undergraduate at Harvard?
I'm currently taking CS61. I'm concentrating in computer science, which is basically a fancy version of majoring. And I'm currently working on our virtual memory and miniature OS PSET.
Very nice. Yeah. Very nice. And Miles actually created this device here. Do you want to tell folks a little bit about this CS50 arcade game?
Sure. So I was inspired by the nice big arcade we had out there. And I decided I wanted to make one of my own. And I just catted up this miniature arcade. I do mechanical engineering on the side outside of my CS degree, and ordered all the parts. I got the screen, and I assembled, after laser cutting all the parts, this arcade. And it's based off of a Raspberry Pi, has a Raspbian-based operating system that just works with arcade games. So you can upload any ROM you want and play any game from the past, any operating system, any video game system, period.
Wonderful. Shall we meet our outreach team next?
Let's do it. All right. So as you might see on our Facebook page, a recent addition to the office is the outreach map. But we will have Kristen and Aaron tell us a little bit more about that.
Hello, world.
Hello.
Hi, guys.
How's it going?
And who do we have here?
My name is Aaron, and I just joined the staff this June.
And I'm a Christian, and I joined earlier this year as well, coming from Guatemala.
And we've been getting a lot of questions about this here map on the wall. What does this represent?
So if you take a look here, I'll let Christian explain the blue pins. But what we have for the red, white, and green is all of our locations where CS50 AP is being taught. Currently, we don't have enough space to put a pin on every single school that we have in the U.S., but we've kind of approximated one per state.
And now, why red, white, and green?
No particular preference. We just
ran out of red flags, yes. And but the blue means something different, yeah. You said, yes?
Yeah, so CS50X is the university level of the class, and we have all of our international efforts here. So it includes Maldives, friends in Bangladesh, Egypt, Bolivia, Chile, Nicaragua, and others. So. CS50X is more the university level independent program, and CS50AP is the high school level. So Very exciting to see this map that came up just a few days ago.
Yeah, indeed. And if you don't see your own city or your own country on the map here, do just reach out via the comments in this video or via my email address or via old school postal mail per the address Doug put up earlier. We'd love to figure out how we can help support you and your local community to bringing computer science to folks that you might know. Now, speaking of computer science, our own Luke Jackson brought exactly that skill to bear to implement CS50's brand new video player, which we're currently using here on campus in Cambridge and in New Haven, and soon this January in CS50X 2017. Shall we go get a sneak peek?
Let's go say hi to Luke.
Thanks.
I think he's hiding from us a little bit.
This is the production... Production Lounge, as we've been told it's called. And oh, who do we have here? CS50's own Luke Jackson, and you may recall, CS50's own Colton Ogden.
Hello, world, guys.
Would you like to give us a tour of what we're looking at here in terms of CS50's new and improved video player?
Yeah, if you like. We're just testing it on the surface here, because it's a new device. But this is what we've got. We've got a demo gods are against us, but... This is the
enhance,
but yeah, this is the player now. So we just added three new experience modes, if you like. They being these three here. So we got multi-screen mode now, which allows you to swap between screens.
This
you can see.
Is CS50.
Tap here, you can swap between the slides and the video, which is quite nice. And then if you really want, you can drop into 3D, which is here, and then be sat inside.
Which looks great on a 6-inch phone, not as good on a 55-inch screen, perhaps, but the goal is that immersion. And so this is exactly what you would see if you put on one of those headsets.
Yeah, one day it will be the same quality as the original video, which will look like this.
It's a lot of gigabytes, as Dan has said. And one of the nice features, too, that Luke pulled up momentarily was the table of contents here, which thanks to Luke and Colton, not only does CS50 have all of these different video angles this year and bit rates, we also have the full text transcript built in, where you can jump to a sentence instantly, the chapters so that you can immediately skip over things that you find of interest or not of interest, or you can rewind more easily and even translate them into Google translations thereof.
Any language, yeah? We've got lots of languages on this first one. And you can just watch subtitles at the bottom.
And then based on an analysis of where people are clicking, do you want to mention what the most popular feature is, certainly among our undergraduates?
Yeah, most people are playing these videos at 1.5 and 2.5 speeds.
Should we take a listen to what how much worse I sound?
Maybe it two times. When we have had a request for three times, but YouTube aren't supporting it yet. Maybe when they do, we can watch. We can try watch it three times. It's gonna be quite hard to understand. But yeah.
Wonderful. Well, thank you.
Thanks so much, Luke.
I think we probably have time for a couple questions if we adjourn to the family room with
the
production team.
Comments.
All right, thank you both.
Thank you. I think it's funny. One of the comments that I usually get when I meet people in person is that I speak a lot more slowly than they expected.
Really?
I'm
a lot taller in person than I seem to be
I
on video.
Shorter.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Interesting. Right this way.
So where shall we sit?
All right, let's see if Ian has a few more questions come in. No, let's check with Dan Coffey instead, who's got the
who's
camera on his shoulder here. Let's take a look.
Let's stand somewhere.
There we go. All right. Back to Scully. All right.
So one of the questions I saw come up before I walked away from this laptop was people wanted to know why the change to Python this year.
So that's a good question. So we actually made a whole number of changes. Made a whole number of changes in CS50 this year, among which was a change of languages toward the tail end of the semester. So CS50 is still predominantly in C for much of the semester, but when we transitioned to web programming toward term's end, we are now using Python, in large part because of technological trends and the reality being that Python is just so useful, not only in the world of web programming, but also in the area of data science. And now we're going over to Jordan. And in analysis of data, which is particularly applicable to students who exit from CS50 and don't necessarily take another CS class, but want to bring those skills and ideas to bear in their own particular field.
Cool. I just want to give a quick shout out to Chang Gong. He said hello in the comments, so hello, Chang.
Oh,
hi, Chang.
Wonderful. And time for one last question, perhaps?
People have been asking kind of generally, like, what does it take to work at CS50? And so I don't know if you just want to talk about, like, the range of skills that are here or
I think one of the most exciting things about working on this team is that we have such a diverse group of interests and backgrounds beyond just the academics of the class and strong computer science backgrounds, whether that's from having taken CS50 themselves or from having taken some other class or set of classes or concentration or major, but also working with artists and working with the production team. Oh, what a wonderful setup. Working with such amazing people as the production team here and artists. And in fact, CS50's own Cheng Gong, who just wrote in the comments, who did a lot of our artwork, some of which you saw earlier on the board, folks who are skilled in software development, in leadership, in education itself, focusing as well on video design and graphics and, any number of various applications. Really, any of the problems we solve, do we bring to bear all of the team's talents. And what's nice, too, about being at a university is that we're constantly meeting and greeting new people. And so, indeed, if you yourselves have talents and ideas, by all means, just reach out via the comments in the video or via email or old school post.
I think one of the amazing things working for CS50 for, this is my going to be my seventh year now after taking the course, is just the sheer amount of changes and improvements that we've made. We're always looking to make things better, more engaging, and like learning every year. I mean, looking back to 7 years ago and the office hour structures and everything else, we still had the hackathon, but now we have hackathons all over the world. So I think it's been really amazing that regardless of whether you're on production or on development or outreach, everyone's really committed to making the course great.
A lot of this has really been organic. In fact, when CS50X first came online in 2012, we didn't proactively set up Facebook groups or set up, thank you, technology is hard, set up Facebook groups and all of the various social media that we do. Rather, we saw that students from all around the world and different cultures and different communities and different spoken languages were creating their own groups. And so just a year or so thereafter, did we decide to really embrace this. And so the fact that CS50's Facebook group has like 100,000 people with a constant flow of questions and answers and comments throughout the day, it's been really quite exciting because it makes the course much more of a community than a traditional class alone.
We have more questions if you want, or I don't know if we're out of time.
Let's do one last question, and then I think we're out of time. Okay. I'm also out of my Apple Watch.
So like one common thread that I've seen is, well, I'm going to give you a two-pronged question. One, can you explain the differences between CS50 and CS50X for those who are watching for the first time? And two, what do you recommend for students who are looking to move on past CS50 once they complete the course?
Sure, maybe I'll pluck off the first and you the second. So CS50 and CS50X curricularly, technologically, and we hope educationally are truly one and the same. And that goes for CS50 AP, our high school outreach program as well, which is to say that all of the content is the same, all of the materials are the same, students in all of those communities have access to the same resources. CS50 proper, per se, the original version, happens to be the official description of the course here in Cambridge, now in New Haven, although even there it's unofficially called CS50 and officially has a different number altogether. But in our various communities, does CS50 generally describe the core content of the class and a lot of the work that's being done here in Cambridge? CS50X is simply a suffix or the designation of the course that's available through edX, but even then have we increasingly focused on calling the entirety of CS50's team and student body CS50 itself, but CS50X technically refers to the course available through cs50.edx.org.
And in reference to the second part of the question, which I believe was what happens in life beyond CS50, what I think for that, we really have a wide range of options. There are people who are studying computer science here at the college and take CS50 and go on to pursue careers in computer science, software development, etc. But there are also a vast majority, myself included, who go on to different careers. So I'm doing my PhD in chemistry right now, and actually the switch to Python is quite nice because I also use Python during my everyday research. So just having CS50 and going on to pursue more industry specific sort of languages, mm-hmm, also is another option. Also, after CS50, many people go on to participate and help out in the forums in CS50X and even further solidify the knowledge that they learned there, or go on to other course platforms and open course platforms, perhaps more specific to mobile app development or web development, etc. What would you say?
All of that. And in fact, there's just such an amazing set of resources out there on edX, on Coursera, on YouTube, on iTunes U, and any number of other resources. I think the key really is to ask for advice from classmates, to keep an eye out for what other people are doing, because indeed there's so many different directions you can go in. And indeed, that's one of the goals of CS50 is to provide a foundation beyond which students can go and learn whatever is of interest.
Even your own individual pursuits. I think that after taking CS50 and CS50X, you're well equipped to go and look at online resources if you have an idea and want to learn learn out how to do it, which language you need to do, I think that even just after CS50, then definitely pursuing your individual passions is totally capable.
Let's look around the office and think about some of the projects ongoing. There's so many more things we could talk about, but I think we're out of time. So we'll have to save that for another tour, another time. Thank you so much to CS50's production team, to the whole team who came in special. Miles, who's apparently late for class. It's great to see you all here on Facebook Live. We hope to see everyone again.
Soon. My name is Amila.
My name is David.
And this is CS50.
Wait. Do you guys want to end the stream?
Sure. How do we end the stream?
It's over here.
Do we, what plug do we pull? All right. Can we get a shot of this?
You're going to hit the space bar.
Space bar? All right. We'll do this together. Just like that hacking video where the two people are typing on the keyboard and hacking twice as fast.
Okay. Let's do it.
Ready? One, two.